she is one on one. Yeah, we can't get help but get excited about England against Germany, no matter what the context. Yeah, I admire your confidence. I really do.
Well, I think anything can happen. I mean, look.
Well, it's a game of two halves, isn't it?
I know, but it's been as well. It's like earlier on saying, yes, we've got to score goals. That is the point of the game.
Yes, you do have to score goals, and unfortunately, England have only mustered two in their three games so far.
But everything this Euro does
seem. What Germany did to Portugal.
I know, but everything's gone a bit.
Yeah, it's been a really good tournament,
down,
actually.
So, I think that's why they might be in with a chance.
Maybe an own goal or two tonight?
Maybe.
Maybe Harry Kane will finally wake up. Sterling's
let's
been playing
so.
Quite well, so he could get a score sheet. Let's hope it's a good, clean game and lots of fun for everybody. In the meantime, there is other sport happening, and here is the first in a series of Wimbledon reports for you from the BBC.
Wimbledon update from the BBC with Lee James.
Hello, welcome to Wimbledon. Opening day's action. We've waited a long time, over 700 days, since Novak Djokovic's epic fifth title win. He was back on court today, and despite dropping the first set against the British wildcard Jack Draper, he went through in four sets. Chris Dennis has been watching the action with me today. Well, normal service was resumed, Chris, in the end. There were a few slips on court and maybe just a little rustiness for Djokovic.
Yes, he was very convincing, wasn't he? But he admitted before the match he didn't really know too much about Jack Draper, 19 years old, a wild card, very much the future of British tennis. And before a couple of very, very impressive results by Draper at the Queen's event just last week, there was very little to know about Jack Draper. So he was a potential banana skin for Djokovic. And of course, home advantage, centre court crowd. Nobody had been here for 2 years. It was all set up, perhaps, for an upset, but Djokovic, of course, is not world number one and a 19-time Grand Slam champion for no reason. And once he'd got over that first set that was taken by Jack Draper, he really cruised to victory very convincingly. But yes, it just showed how lush the green turf is here at Wimbledon this year. Lots of slipping and sliding. Djokovic, not the only player to find himself on his bottom today, but he came through comfortably enough in the end.
Big shock of the opening day, though. The men's third seed, Stefanos Tsitsipas of Greece, knocked out in straight sets by the unseeded American Francis Tiafoe.
Yes, he was. I'm not sure it is such a big surprise, you know. Stefanos Tsitsipas, by his own admission, not entirely comfortable on the grass, and significantly, he really only managed 8 days of practice, came direct from Paris, spent a few days recuperating in the English countryside after all his exertions at the French Open, where, of course, he was runner-up finally to Novak Djokovic. So no match practice. And in contrast, Francis Tiafoe won a challenger event in Nottingham up in the Midlands in the UK just a couple of weeks ago. And he really set the tone, Lee, today from the opening point of the match, did Tiafoe. A blistering, rasping return on the very opening point. He got the crowd engaged and he's got this megawatt smile. And the crowd really took to him today. And in the end, he was a convincing winner against the number three seed, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Level 15.
Wimbledon update from the BBC.
Yes, for the third time in four attempts, Stefanos Tsitsipas has gone out of Wimbledon. Now, the two-time Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitova is another of those to depart on the opening day. She lost 6-3, 6-4 to the American Sloane Stephens. Stephens is a Grand Slam winner herself. She triumphed at the 2017 US Open, but has slipped down the world rankings, Chris. But she says herself that her form is starting to return, and we saw that today. Kvitova may be hampered by the ankle injury she suffered at the French Open, but just couldn't get going today.
No, a bit of a surprise for me, Kvitova, because she normally does turn it on the grass, and she's got such fond memories, of course, of SW19, the postcode here in London, where we find ourselves at the All England Club. So slightly surprised, but I think you're right. There may be some little hangover from that injury that she picked up, which forced her out of the French Open just a couple of weeks ago. And we shouldn't underestimate, Lee, how difficult a transition it is. It's the hardest transition surface to surface to make between the clay of Paris and the green grass of Wimbledon. And I'm afraid today that Petra Kvitova came up just short.
Let's look at some that did go through then, and some big winners in this opening round, including a former champion in Garbiñe Muguruza and the women's second seed, Aryna Sabalenka.
Yes, Muguruza needed just 49 minutes to come through today against Fiona Ferro from France, so a very convincing victory there for Muguruza. Zabalenka, Irina Zabalenka, the number two seed here, was in equally impressive form, needed just an hour and a quarter to come through against the tricky Romanian all slice and dice Monica Niculescu. So very, very impressive indeed. And such a powerful hitter, Zabalenka. So she's many people's tip to be perhaps the women's champion this year. And then later on here on court one in front of me, we saw the last year's French Open champion, Iga Świątek, come through comfortably 6-4, 6-4 against Su Wexie from Chinese Taipei. Świątek, a former girls champion here at Wimbledon, but through to the second round in the main draw proper for the very first time.
So she goes through. We've had a few surprises. Novak Djokovic has made his way through, though. That is it from Wimbledon Update on day one of the championships.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
The London Times today says that schools will become mobile phone free zones, according to Gavin Williamson. The Education Secretary said he would be setting out plans for a nationwide classroom ban under a new regime backed by the Education Secretary. Head teachers will be told to stop pupils using their phones at any points during the school day. Head teachers and teaching unions hit back, insisting that mobile phone policies were a matter for schools. They accused the Education Secretary of playing to backbench MPs and using the issue as a distraction from the government's failures on education during the pandemic. Mr. Williamson is asking teachers, parents and other school staff for their views and policies on managing good behaviour in classrooms before updating government guidance on behaviour, discipline, suspensions and permanent exclusions later this year. As well as mobile phone policies, the government's looking at the use of removal rooms in schools and so-called managed moves where a pupil is transferred to another school, often as a way of avoiding a formal expulsion. Announcing the six-week consultation today, Mr. Williamson will say no parent wants to send their child to school where poor behaviour is rife. Every school should be a safe place that allows young people to thrive and teachers to excel. What's wrong with standing in the corner?
In this morning's Connection France, motorbikes in France to be subject to control technique from 2023. The checks will be introduced due to an EU directive after a two-year postponement and will also apply to scooters. Biking federations have condemned the move as a money-making scheme. Motorbikes and scooters in France will now be required to have regular control technique, the equivalent to an MOT, from 2023, according to France's Transport Ministry. The roadworthiness checks every 2 years had been due to start from January the 1st, 2022, but this was cancelled in April. Now the ministry has confirmed that the measure had only been postponed and that France is aiming to introduce the rule from 2023 onwards.
The Financial Times says the head of Germany's central bank has called for the European Central Bank's pandemic-related bond purchases to be reduced step by step and warned that inflationary pressures are mounting in the eurozone. Jens Weidmann said there were upside risks to the outlook for inflation and energy prices could be pushed higher than economists expect by government's policies to fight climate change. He said the ECB's stimulus programme to ease the economic impacts of the pandemic should end as soon as the emergency situation has been overcome. His remarks set up a clash with other members of the central bank's governing council about the future path of its policy. Policymakers will meet next month, but they're widely expected to hold off on announcing a decision until their September meeting. And the FT reports that Mr. Weidmann compared inflation to the Galapagos giant tortoise, which was wrongly classed as extinct for 100 years.
And it's on the front page of most of the French papers this morning. Switzerland have defeated world champions France 5-4 on penalties in the last 16 of Euro 2020 as Kylian Mbappe missed the decisive spot kick in the shootout following the thrilling 3-3 draw in Bucharest last night.
Taxi from Mbappe. BBC World Service News live from London coming up next. The Full English Breakfast Show, 106.3 and 106.5.
The Press Review. Brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes, and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
On to the Tuesday morning pop quiz, my favourite day of the week.
Question number one. On this day in 1994, which British band made their debut on BBC TV's Top of the Pops, performing their new single, Shaker Maker?
Oh, Oasis.
Correct.
Yes.
Question number two. On this day in 1991, who had their third UK number one single with a song written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice for the 1968 musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Jason Donovan.
And the song was?
any dream will do.
Correct. And finally...
I did that at school when I was a kid.
Did you?
That's why I know the words. I closed my eyes and the golden coat was out of sight.
Very good. Many. Were you him then? Were you Joseph?
I was in the chorus.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I wasn't Joseph.
Who was the main role?
Oh, some kid called Brian.
You always remember the kid that got the main role, don't you? You always remember. It's like the name of your favourite teacher and worst teacher. Finally,
Mr. Vanstone.
Mr. Littlejohn.
And Mr. Felix.
Miss Canning.
The maths teacher. A terrible breath.
Oh, no.
Really awful. He's to come in and I'll smash your face in. He's just charming.
Wouldn't get away with that today.
I know. But of course, his name was Mr. Felix. So every time when he went out of the room, suddenly he came back in, and a massive sort of cartoon cats would be drawn on the board, on the blackboard.
Yeah. Finally, not by yourself, of course.
No.
You wouldn't do that.
Didn't hide the board rubber either.
Finally, on this day in 1974, which French singer? The French singer, it's only UK number one, and at the time it made him the oldest living male chart topper in the UK charts. Yes. Correct. And well done. He was at number one in the UK singles chart with She. And of course, it made him the oldest chart topper. How old was he? At the time.
He was about 65, I reckon.
Not even.
Not even.
He was a spring chicken.
55.
50.
50?
Yeah.
Cool. Look at them all. They're all old now, aren't they? All those people on Top of the Pops.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
A few glum faces around the place this morning.
What are you talking about?
What? Oh, you probably missed it. You were sleeping. France out of the European Championships.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Well, yeah, maybe you should get an
Good
early night.
Night.
You know, it might improve your performance in the mornings a bit. You know,
this is true.
Propping your eyelids up with matchsticks and you know,
this is right.
I'm surprised you're even here this week, actually. I would have thought, you know, you would be the prawn sandwich brigade at SW19 munching on strawberries and cream and trying to pretend you like tennis.
I do like tennis. Unfortunately, our friend from Georgia didn't do so well yesterday. It looked like he was fighting back. Did you see the match?
I did, yes. Yes.
It was a good match, actually, wasn't it?
It was nice, pretty good.
The third set was good, but unfortunately, he didn't prevail. Well, I've got to be careful. I see him when we're feeding the ducks with Amelia and his children are next to us feeding the ducks.
Anyway, it's not tennis, though, is it? It's all parkour these days, isn't it?
I tell you what I play, paddle.
Paddle.
It's a wonderful game. That is an amazing game. Mm.
But no doubt,
mixture between tennis and squash.
No doubt you'll be having a look at the game this evening, will you? Some small match taking place at Wembley.
It's our nemesis, isn't it? Here we go again. They knocked us out. I think, was it the 1990 semi-finals, 2010 World Cup?
Yeah.
The one, of course, that really hurt was Euro 96, when a certain Gareth Southgate missed a penalty. Let's hope he can, as manager, take revenge this evening and... England can finally do something better than they normally do.
Let's hope that he doesn't have to come on and take a penalty.
Let's hope it doesn't go to penalties, is probably correct. Listen, I said it before, Germany always seem to outperform. I don't think it's the best German team that we've ever seen, but they're very efficient. They always over-deliver. England, I don't know if they have wonderful teams, they have wonderful players, and they always under-deliver. Let's hope it's different tonight.
Euro 96, eh?
Coming home.
That rings a bell, doesn't it?
That was wonderful, wasn't it?
Was
that
it?
That was a terrific summer.
I know you enjoyed it.
Oh, and Lineker scored.
Right.
How long have you had that?
Forever. Oh, I'll have it forever. As long as I'm on this earth, I will keep it. It's classic.
Oh, and Lineker scored.
Shall we move on to the markets? Not a bad day in the US, down in Europe.
Yeah, European equities fell for a third, the first time in three sessions, as fresh travel restrictions dampened hopes of a revival in summer tourism. Stock 600 fell 0.6%. Travel and leisure, no surprise, was the worst performing sector, down 4.4%. Destinations imposed curbs on UK travellers, fears that could spread. Cyclicals also struggled. Energy down 2.3%. Banking was off 2% in Europe. Healthcare, the best performing sector, was up 0.6%. In fact, a new record high in Europe yesterday, boosted by gains for large funds. Pharmaceuticals. On Wall Street, a different picture. The mega tech companies led stocks to fresh record highs. The S&P 500 moved higher. It was up 0.25%. NASDAQ outperformed, was up 1%. This is on the news that Facebook has won a dismissal of two monopoly lawsuits that could have forced the company to break up and sell off its WhatsApp and Instagram divisions. Facebook shares up 4% after the ruling, pushing its market cap above the $1 trillion mark for the first time. As in Europe, airlines and cruise operators in the US were under pressure yesterday. And we are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Coney Coin FTSE down 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 14 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 2 points.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Got them all there, haven't you?
So stick,
just at a touch of a button, ready to go.
Stick them all on an MP3 and send them to Uncle Barclay.
There's no Dolly Parton, that's the good news.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. India, new supports coming in for the economy.
Yeah, India's unveiled a series of new schemes that focus on health and tourism in an effort to boost the economy and provide relief to businesses. Government will expand its emergency credit scheme for small businesses to 4.5 trillion rupees, that's $60 billion. The government will also provide guarantees on loans to the pandemic-hit health sector and medical infrastructure businesses. The measures were announced as the economy continues to reel from that second virulent wave. India reported 46,000 new cases and 979 deaths on Monday in a 24-hour period. Ministers also proposed support for the badly hit tourism sector. They said they would extend loans to travel agencies and to guides and provide 500,000 free visas when the sector reopens. So trying to fight its way back. Second wave has really not growth prospects, but vaccination supply has certainly been improving. Therefore, the economic outlook is brightening, and accommodative monetary and fiscal policies should also help. However, inflation has been rising in India, no surprise there, given the higher commodity prices. We have reduced our growth forecast for India. We started the year around 11%. We've still got 9.5% penciled in for the full year, so not a bad result if that turns out to be the case, given the problems that they've had.
I love Dolly Parton. Have you ever heard that Coat of Many Colours? Oh, it makes you cry.
Nice.
Absolutely makes you cry. It's about this little coat that her mum made her out of these little patches. And she sealed it with a kiss. It was so nice. And then when she went to school, all her friends laughed at her. Well, it just reminds me of my own childhood.
You've lost the plot, haven't you, really? Many times.
That must have been about 20 years ago, that little clip.
No, I think that was last week, wasn't it? Last week.
It's the most emotional song I think that's ever been written.
State of that and the price of tomatoes. Have you seen the price of tomatoes?
No.
Tinned tomatoes are up 23% so far this year, mainly or a lot to do with the price of tin.
That's your cue. Scary, isn't it? That's scary. Metals have been rising quite dramatically. I didn't realize. Are they up 23%? It's quite
23%. It was not only the price of commodities, but also a poor harvest in Italy last year and just a general global warming, basically, which is seeing crop yields drop.
That's a nice little point. He's finally adding something to the show. Across the commodity complex, we've seen a little bit of weakness. Copper traded certainly lower yesterday. It was down at $9,363 a ton. That's down from a record high of $10,747 back in May. Investors have been excited about commodities as the global economy recovery gathers pace. The huge infrastructure projects have been announced. Particularly excited about copper, given its green and electrification credentials. The move to the downside, however, comes as profit growth at Chinese industrial firms continues to slow as higher raw material costs squeeze margins and weigh on activities. High commodity costs have also encouraged the Chinese government to try and cool prices by releasing some of its metal stockpiles, and they've been introducing measures to reduce hoarding and speculation, particularly in local markets. But given the recovery in the economy, those big infrastructure projects, as I said, been announced, expectation is that commodity prices will remain high. And of course, that has a knock-on effect, particularly for inflation expectations.
Can't say I get that particularly excited about copper, really. Ooh,
no?
Copper, ooh, ooh.
Copper pipes. I know you've gone for plastic in your house, but you know, the old-fashioned way is still the best.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar 138.5 this morning. Euro dollar 119. €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Enjoy the football.
What is your prediction?
Germany to win up penalties.
I knew you'd go for that. We shall talk tomorrow.
Okay, have a nice day. Bye-bye. Hang Potts and Barclay.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
So, Lisa has the top stories across the Riviera.
The pressure on hospitals continues to drop in France despite the Delta COVID variant. According to official figures published on Monday, 1,304 patients are currently in intensive care and less than 9,000 are hospitalised, marking the lowest figures in the last 8 months. The death toll in France has now reached just over 111,000 deaths since the start of the epidemic in early 2020. In recent days, the French government and health authorities have insisted on the importance of being fully vaccinated to block the Delta variant, which is more transmissible than other strains. However, as the pace of vaccination against COVID slows down in France, the city of Nîmes is trying to convince young people to get vaccinated by offering them gifts. Reserved for 18 to 25-year-olds, a range of gifts from a year's electric bike subscription to concert tickets are being offered by the city council in order to encourage the young to get their first dose. A draw will designate 34 winners at the end of July. In France, only 12% of 18 to 24-year-olds are fully vaccinated. In other news, following the results of the regional elections in France, French President Emmanuel Macron has excluded replacing current Prime Minister Jean Castex. On Monday, the day after difficult regional and departmental elections for La République En Marche, the head of state said that the local elections do not call for national consequences. After French and mathematics on Monday, third grade college students in France will today sit the next part of their brevet, with history and geography this morning, followed by science and modern foreign languages this afternoon. Some 800,000 candidates are registered to sit this year's brevet in France. During Monday's French exam, students worked on a dictation, written exam and a photogram from the film Beauty and the Beast, produced by Jean Cocteau in 1946. The helpline for victims of domestic violence in France has extended its operating hours. The 3919 is now available 24 hours a day from Monday to Friday, with the 24 extension planned for weekends by the end of the summer. The service is anonymous and free. The 3919 remains reachable on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's estimated that around 210,000 women experience domestic violence each year in France. In 2020, 90 women were killed by their partner or ex-partner, according to the latest official figures. Employees at Europe 1 have organised a rally tomorrow in their continued fight against Vincent Bolloré. After a five-day strike last week, the station's unions have called for action this Wednesday in front of its premises at 10 a.m. to denounce what they call the growing hold by billionaire Vincent Bolloré. Unions want Europe 1 to remain a generalist radio station and not become an opinion radio. Unprecedented in its scale, strike action was launched to challenge the dismissal of a journalist against a background of growing concerns about the future of the station and its increased ties to CNews and Canal Plus News Channel, a subsidiary of the Vivendi Group controlled by Vincent Bolloré. Finally, Jersey has said that it has agreed to a three-month extension to post-Brexit transition arrangements to allow certain French vessels to carry on fishing in the Channel Islands waters while difficult negotiations over future licences continue. The request for the extension was made by France's Maritime Minister on the 12th of May.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211 or email info@westnautical.com.
The favourite France had been knocked out of the competition on penalties by Switzerland. France had looked like they were going through after leading 3-1, but two goals from the Swiss in the last 10 minutes of the match sent the game into extra time. With the scores tied at 3-all at the end of extra time, the match was decided on a penalty shootout, which Switzerland won 5-4. Paul Pogba, hero and villain last night, wasn't he?
Well, definitely, yes. And Patrick Vieira has blasted France for showing no spirit, no togetherness, and a very poor attitude.
Well, they shouldn't really have conceded two goals in the last 10 minutes leading 3-1. You wouldn't expect them to do that. And the other round of 16 match on Monday also went to extra time with Spain eventually beating Croatia 5-3. Did you see the opening Croatian
goal? I got just that first goal.
Oh, dear, what a howler. Poor bloke. Spanish keeper took his eye off the ball, tried to put his foot on it. Went right past him into the back of the net.
Wasn't paying attention, was he?
There have been a lot of own goals, actually, in this tournament so far. Switzerland will now play Spain in the quarterfinals on Saturday. The final round of 16 games are being played tonight. England face Germany at Wembley. Kick-off at 6 p.m. Sarah's confident.
Yes, very confident.
I'm afraid I'm not so confident. And Sweden play Ukraine at 9 p.m. tonight. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Bowell at the BBC Sports Centre. The Chelsea defender Cesar Azpilicueta and Manchester City winger Ferran Torres both scored for Spain in a 5-3 extra time win over Croatia at the European Football Championship. In the quarterfinals of the Euros, Spain will take on Switzerland. Manchester United's Paul Pogba had been on target for France in a 3-3 draw after extra time against the Swiss, but Switzerland skipper by Arsenal's Granit Xhaka took the penalty shootout 5-4. Well, Tuesday sees a much-anticipated clash at the Euros. It's England against Germany at Wembley Stadium. The England skipper, the Spurs striker Harry Kane, says he needs to start scoring again and is also demanding more goals from his team.
We want to create chances for not just me, but for all our attacking players and trying to get into those areas which are going to cause Germany problems. So, yeah, we've been working on that. We've had a lot of time to work, a lot of time to think about it. It's now just down to us to go out there and show it.
Police are investigating reports that a threatening banner was left near the home of the former Liverpool boss, Rafa Benitez, who is set to join Everton. Benitez's arrival would be contentious, as many Everton fans are opposed to the Spaniard after he once described them as being a small club in 2007. He will be the first manager to lead the neighbouring clubs since the 1890s. And Leeds United are keen on Barcelona's Spanish defender, Junior Firpo, who would cost them around $18 million. The former Real Betis player is among several targets for Leeds, who are looking for a new left-back. But they face competition from both Italian giants AC Milan and Inter Milan, as well as Premier League rivals Southampton. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Just a correction, there's Switzerland playing Spain in the quarterfinals on Friday, not on Saturday, as I said.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Tennis, Andy Murray survived a wobble on his return to Wimbledon before coming through his first round match against Nicolas Basilashvili on Monday. Murray, playing his first singles match at SW19 since 2017, was two sets up but lost the third before coming back to win 6-4, 6-3, 5-7, 6-3. World number one Novak Djokovic came through his first round match in four sets against the British teenager Jack Draper. But the shock of the round came as the world number four, Stefanos Tsitsipas, lost in straight sets to Francis Tiafoe at the United States. In the women's event, Sloane Stephens produced a first-round shock by beating two-time champion Petra Kvitova 6-3, 6-4, while the four-seed Anya Sabalenka beat Monica Niculescu 6-1, 6-4. Katie Bolter of Great Britain is also through after beating Danielle Lau of the US in three sets. And we will have a daily Wimbledon report from the BBC for you at 8:15 every weekday morning. First one coming up in the next hour. And in cycling, Tim Merlier of Belgium won Stage 3 of the Tour de France on Monday on another dramatic day of crashes. Geraint Thomas dislocated his shoulder in a fall early on in the stage, and last year's runner-up Primoz Roglic lost time after falling in the final 10 kilometres. Caleb Ewan and Peter Sagan also tangled and fell as they were winding up for a sprint finish on the stage between Lorient and Pontivy. Mathieu van der Poel of Belgium still holds the leader's yellow jersey heading into Stage 4 today, which is 154.4 kilometres, mainly on the flat between Redon and Fougères. All this falling that's been going on, they've been drinking. I mean, in the old days, they used to neck champagne on the way around, didn't they? So you can imagine how many accidents there would have been back in those days.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Amara Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,010 millibars over the Gulf of Gascony and high pressure 1,018 millibars over southwestern France. A wind of west-southwesterly, force 2 to 4, picking up to force 4 to 6 this afternoon. The sea is slight, becoming moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 5 to 7 southwesterly winds, moderate to rough seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 4 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Clear skies, moderate to strong westerly winds across the VAR. That means the forest fire risk is heightened, so please be very, very careful around woodland today. Top temperature 31 or 32 degrees, overnight lows 22 or 23 degrees with clear skies Wednesday and Thursday. Now clear skies, highs of 28 to 31 degrees. And a complete no-no is chucking your cigarette end out of a car window. I can't believe I still see people doing that all the time.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer. Open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally,
can staying up all night beat your insomnia? It sounds bizarre, but experts believe it can reset your body clock and help to end sleeplessness and the depression so often linked to it. Chronotherapy involves a reset of the body clock, which is said to improve sleep and, as a result, mood. And the process itself takes 5 days. The first night, the patient stays up all night. I can do that bit. Over the following days, they go to bed early, but progressively later. And the next day, they sleep between 5 p.m. and 1 a.m., then 7 p.m. and 3 a.m., and on the fourth day, 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. On the fifth day, they subsequently they sleep between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. And apparently, this can reset the body clock and improve your sleep pattern.
Oh dear. Don't think I'd be able to stay awake long enough. 7 p.m. till 3 a.m. That's the one.
You could do that, yeah.
I can't stay awake longer than 10 o'clock at night anymore. I just can't do it.